You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
Welcome to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by, of course, the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. We have some news we're going to uncover on Great Lakes regarding the weather coming up in just a moment.
Nice.
And also a David Hobbs Honda for the best in not only new, but also used car inventory. Make sure you check out David Hobbs Honda, 6100 North Green Bay Avenue. And did you know that yours truly will be making an appearance with Mr. Hobbs next Saturday, the 25th.
Yeah, down in Indianapolis
for, I think they call it Legends Day, one of the fun events down in Indianapolis. It's the day before the 500. They probably get about 100,000 people there, but more than enough elbow room, and probably the best memorabilia show in the country, I think. Just fantastic. Lots of stuff. You'll see stuff there that you might have probably never saw before. And so I'm looking forward to that. And Hobble will be there with me, and we'll be selling his book along with some memorabilia and some Steve Zocchi memorabilia.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. You're going to have your book out there. Clearing out the
office. Yeah. Cleared out the office a little bit last night. I'm going to do some more tonight.
That sounds awesome. So I'm sure you'll have your Road America book out there.
Might have a couple copies left.
And some movies Amazon. And stuff like that as well?
The videos, Milwaukee Mile videos. So if you like vintage Milwaukee Mile racing, stock cars, remember the old Plymouth Superbirds, Dodge Daytonas, Dodge Chargers, whatnot, Norm Nelson, A.J. Foyt, Bobby Unser, Roger McCluskey, all those guys. We have three videos for you.
Nice.
Covering 1960 through 1967. And then the most popular one is what we call Muscle Car Mania. It's 1968 to 72, so all the classic cars. And then Stock Car Racing, 1973 to 76. And then we have the IndyCar video, which is the golden years of auto racing at Milwaukee, which covered 1955 to 1975 IndyCar racing at Milwaukee. So a lot of fun. And a couple other videos, too. We have Yankee 300. Now, the Yankee 300, you know, IRP, Indianapolis Raceway Park, where they used to do the Xfinity races. Back then, the Busch races, and then they moved it to the Speedway, and nobody went. But they also, not only did they have the drag strip where they have the U.S. Nationals, but they also have a road course. The road course is still there, and they actually ran IndyCar races there and stock car races there. Through 1971 or two, I think, probably. Not nice. IndyCar. IndyCar only raced their first couple of years in 1965 and 6, but the stock cars raced there. And they usually raced there the first weekend in May. That was a pretty kind of a big race. And you'd have a lot of drivers. My dad went down there in 1964 and 66. Some cool stuff down there because like drivers like Fireball Roberts was down there, Freddie Lorenzen. It was what they call an FIA race. So sanctioning, which means if you're a big hotshot driver, back in the old days, drivers couldn't just race where they want. They were affiliated with whether it was AAA or later USAC or NASCAR, Formula One. It was harder for them to switch series. Then that kind of opened up in the 50s and 60s when they said, you know, the FIA says, well, if you get a FIA,
card or
whatever, you know, it's approved by the FIA. None of the sanctioning bodies can bother the other drivers from racing it because those are usually big money races too. there's a pretty decent purse. And those guys back then were racing for their, you know, racing for their livelihood.
Absolutely.
So you'd have a lot of interesting drivers at that. Your 500-mile IndyCar races were FIA events, such as Indy, Pocono, and Ontario. And then, like, the Monaco Grand Prix, all the 24 Hours of Le Mans was FIA-sanctioned. The Daytona 500 was FIA. And usually the fall Charlotte race.
Okay.
So, interesting stuff.
Who'd you have to pay off to get invited to the quote-unquote Legends event? Or are you just riding Hobbs' coattail on that one?
For which one's that?
For the memorabilia show down in Indy.
We're just anyway. It's open for anybody. But they have what they call Legends Day because they bring back a lot of the drivers for autograph sessions and whatnot. So it's pretty cool. You know, they have all sorts of autograph sessions for fans. There's all sorts of stuff. There's they're gonna have a vintage IndyCar display, and they'll be running the cars on the track on Saturday. So just a lot of things. Do concerts. I think they have, that's Carb Day. Carb Day, they have the one country guy. My wife is pounding the steering wheel in frustration right now. You should know that.
I don't know. There's so many of them. They all sound the same.
No, it's actually the guy I like. This will narrow it down.
Eric Church?
The guy with the beard.
Oh, yeah.
The guy Chris with Stapleton? The bushy beard. No, the guy with the bushy beard.
Nah, who knows?
It'll come up to me in a second.
Well, okay, I'm good. I'm glad I didn't miss an email with you, you know, getting enshrined into the Legends Club, or I would have had to roll out the red carpet today, so I'm glad I didn't miss that. But that sounds like one heck of a memorabilia show. That'll be awesome.
Should be a lot of fun.
So, you know, so yet another Memorial Day weekend. You're down getting wined and dined with all the high society members in Indianapolis, and I'm slumming it up here by myself, huh?
I'll be sending you interviews.
That's great, Steve. An invitation would be better, but, you know, I'll take an interview or two.
You're always welcome. You're always welcome.
Yeah, somehow I think Mrs. Zaki would put the kibosh on that one.
Nah.
Your better half.
She likes you.
She met me once.
She still likes you.
Well, yeah, probably. Usually by the third time is when I really start to annoy people.
They are qualifying at Indianapolis.
They are. What TV channel is that on?
It's not on TV right now.
Well, why the hell is it not?
Well, okay. All right. I'm getting these text messages. Where's qualifying? Here's the deal. They have what they call NBC Gold. This is the future of sports, just so you know. This is how things are going to happen because they have PGA Gold, too. So the more and more stuff that ends up on NBC for golf, this happens. So basically what it is, it's awesome. If you're into that sport, it's really cool. So they had all the practices on NBC Gold. Now, it's like $50. Oh, no, $55. No, it's $50 up until like May or April, whenever it was. Then it went up to $55. And then lo and behold, May came around and, it's on sale, $39. So I got in for a good price. And no, there is no media pass. not that I would check about that. I'm not that cheap. But there is no media pass. But it's really cool. It's just like TV. And the streaming is so good now. They really, everybody, you know, it is like TV. Hook it up to your smart. If you have a smart TV, you can just click onto the app, or if you have an older TV, you just put it on your laptop and then put in a HD cable. Hook it up to your monitor. Boom. But it's really cool. I like it. Now they're gonna have the qualifying on for an hour today. The end of it on NBC Sports Network.
Okay.
And then tomorrow it's on TV, some of it, not all of it. But this is where it gets tricky. So do you want to have it on TV, but then you don't want the people that are buying the NBC Gold to say, well, why is it all, if it's on TV, then maybe I don't. They have to justify it. So by not having all the qualifying on TV, they're justifying you buying it. Now, whether you agree with it or not, all I know is everybody who's bought it loves it. Huh? So if you really love IndyCar racing, is it worth the $40? I think it is.
All right. Well, you know, it's crazy, and, you know, obviously it's a reaction to everybody cutting the cord and everything like that.
Right.
But, you know, between Netflix and Hulu and now with, you know, Indiegogo and PGA Go and all this kind of stuff, you know, it just seems like you're still going to be paying out the rear end to get the sports that you want.
Well, and this is what's happening in the world of sports. A lot of it is people are getting, especially, well, here's the thing. The younger audience, are they as in tune into sports as we are? Somewhat, yes, but there's others that aren't. And there's others that aren't watching it on TV. They're either going to the event. The Bucks is an interesting situation. There's a lot of people who are Bucks fans right now. But how many of those people were Bucks fans earlier last year, 2 years ago? And they're down in outside watching it, making it's great optics, fantastic optics for Milwaukee. But how many of those people are going to be watching, you know, a game next year, you know, in November?
Right.
So, this may work, it may not work, but it is the future, though. I really think it is, whether we like it or not. For me, I mean, it's if you and your wife go out for a fish fry, that's how much it costs.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No.
That's not bad. I don't do the fish fry thing, you know.
Well, if you go out for dinner, I mean, or I've seen the remarks on Facebook and on social media. Oh, this is, you know, but I got some buddies that are not happy about it. But
well, 90% of social media is just people complaining.
That is true.
So, you know, the only reason why half these people have Twitter is just to complain. And it drives you nuts after a while. And it takes a lot of the fun out of it. And, well, you know, it's kind of sad.
Here's the deal. Everybody's been complaining about, I don't know where to look for the IndyCar race. I don't know where to look for this or that. And they've simplified it. Now it's pretty much going to be, you know, the big races are going to be on NBC. You know, the Indy 500 and that, which has been doing a lot of promotion. The Indianapolis Grand Prix had like 60% upkick in ratings over ABC last year.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is huge. And I've been telling people, NBC or IndyCar is looking to do what NBC has done for the Kentucky Derby. Because where was the Kentucky Derby 10 years ago?
Yeah, I watched it, but it wasn't nearly what it is today.
Exactly. It's really gone through a resurgence. And that's what they're hoping. That's what IndyCar is hoping that NBC, and that's what NBC is promising to do. So now you have some of the stuff on NBC Sports Network, which has been accumulating a lot of sports.
Mm-hmm.
So this is it's kind of for them, it's a way for them to say, okay, well, we can't put everything on NBC Sports. We've got NASCAR, especially when they take over NASCAR. They have, you know, they have all their soccer stuff, their European football stuff, all these other sports that they're covering. This is a way for them to say, well, we will cover it for you, and here's where you can find it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's good, but there will come a time where you'll have people who sign up for IndyGo, NASCAR Go, whatever it is, and they're paying this money, and they're not going to feel like they're getting their money's worth. Because, you know, like I said, everybody, all they do is complain nowadays, so no one's happy. And they're going to sit there and claim that NBC is taking their money for the IndyGo and using it to pay for Sunday Night Football or, you know, something like that. And I don't know. I just think it's going to be messy down the road.
But this is also the future of sports, because the networks are not going to be able to recoup that money through commercials anymore, eventually. Because more as the ratings go down, so does your pricing for the commercials.
Yeah.
And your businesses are going to realize that.
Well, yeah, but it's also, you know, the NFL and all these other organizations aren't going to get the same contracts that they've gotten lately either.
Except for maybe the NFL. The NFL is its own separate entity.
Right.
But when you look at NBC Sports Gold, You look, they have something called the Diamond League in Shanghai. It looks like track and field. So there's people that are into that, believe it or not. Now this is their place where they can get it. I mean, especially if your daughter has a scholarship somewhere, now you can watch her on TV whenever you want.
Right.
A lot of rugby. A lot of rugby on NBC Gold. They have a lot of soccer. Telemundo Deportes, which is a lot of soccer. And
boxing.
And a lot of boxing. Yep. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff on here. And it's if you're into this, motocross is on here. Let's see here. What else they have? And bicycling. A lot of bicycle sports and premier and whatnot. So it'll be interesting. Let's do this. Let's talk to Dennis Michelson, D-Mike Media. He's somebody that's kind of in tune to what's happening in the world of media, especially with some of his other sports that he deals with, which I guess you could call them fringe sports, but they're rising sports. And everybody's kind of, you know, it's kind of like crabs crawling out of a pail. Everybody's trying to get to the top and get noticed. And this is right now, this is a great time for these sports because there's opportunities for them to get noticed. So let's go take a break. Let's bring Dennis Michelson into this conversation. And we'll see just where is the world of sports and sports television going in the next 10 years or so. You're listening to the Final Inspection Show brought to you by Great Lakes Dragway, which when we come back, we'll give you the update on Great Lakes Dragway and their weather update, and then also David Hobbs Honda.
Final Inspection.
Final Inspection.
Now, Dennis Michelson of D-Mike Media is here to give us the inside track on NASCAR and the world of short track racing.
Welcome to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by David Hobbs Honda. Make sure you check out David Hobbs for all the best in new and used cars. And also the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. And we have an update, weather update. So regarding today, the junior dragsters are going to run today from 8 a.m. till 2 p.m. Regular and test and tune will occur afterwards until 9 p.m., of course, weather permitting. The Summit Super Series, which was scheduled for this weekend, has been canceled due to the high chance of rain in the forecast. So the Summit Super Series for tomorrow has been canceled, and for today and tomorrow is canceled. But let's say there's some windows and you can, there is some chances that they can run tomorrow. They will do an open test and tune, weather permitting, tomorrow.
Nice.
And also, regarding the weather, we had Badger Midgets, and Badger Midgets also has been canceled. And where is that little update? The problem is nowadays, and Dennis, I'm sure you can tell me, is you get too many emails from all these organizations. Your email box is full of updates and this and that, and you're looking at your inbox, you're going, okay, I just saw this a second ago, and let's see here, Brian Kapinski, where are you? Here he is. All right, weather claims, Angel Park opener on Sunday, so previous rain showers and projected weekend rain at Angel Park Speedway has forced the cancellation of Sunday's Tony Stewart Sprint Spectacular featuring the IRA bumper-to-bumper sprint car series. Co-sanctioned event with the Badger Midgets. And also, I guess, yesterday was canceled. I think it was yesterday we were running at Wilmont, too. So just a soggy day. It's not bad now. The temperatures are rising. It's a little overcast up here, Dennis. But just last night we had a lot of rain. And for somebody who has been trying to mow his lawn completely other than just the dry patches, it's been a struggle, hasn't it, Dennis?
Yeah, it's been crazy. And, you know, I know a lot of these short track series. I know Steve Sinclair from IRA Outlaw Sprints was getting a lot of flack earlier. But the biggest problem they have is getting equipment in and out of the tracks right now because the infields are so doggone muddy because they've just not had a chance to dry. You know, they just get so much rain and so much rain and so much rain. And there's only so many places that rain can go. And, you know, I remember seeing a track in down in Missouri. I think it was Missouri, posted a picture a while ago. A few weeks ago when they were having troubles with rain, they called the rain out real early, and one of the some of the competitors were complaining on social media. So they posted a picture of the track, and the water was about a foot and a half up the retaining walls.
Wow.
And was totally full in the track. And the guy said, what exactly do you expect me to do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be dry by tomorrow. You know, and that's the big problem is everybody says, oh, it's dirt track. You know, you're going to put water on it anyway. You don't put that much water on it. You got to turn the track after the rain stops. And getting a track set up, man, it's got to be safe for the competitors. But again, there was a track in Indiana that tried to run a few weeks ago. They got the event in, and then they had to pull a bunch of the competitors' tow vehicles out of the track later because the track was fine, but there was so much mud in the, you know, in the pit areas that they just had to get a whole batch of tow trucks to get them out. So, you know, these promoters are trying to do the right thing. And in the case of IRA and Badger out there at Angel Park, that's a good call because that track does not dry very quickly. And it's taken a lot of water already and more on the way. You know, when series and promoters try to be proactive and save guys money, they complain about that. Yet if they show up at the gate and they wait 6 hours to cancel, then they complain about that. That's the worst job in racing.
Yeah, we got some breaking news from Indianapolis, too. Pretty significant crash for James Hinchcliffe, who was made a lot of news when he missed a race. And now, once again, turn two has been the trouble spot for most of the drivers all weekend, and especially today, too, a little bit of a crosswind. But this one looks like his entrance into turn two seemed to be just a tad high, and the car got loose a little bit and smacked the wall, did a half spin, hard impact on the left side, and it was kind of similar Rosenquist's accident. The car kind of got up in the air a little bit and actually came down on his rear, broke the gearbox, and then the gearbox flamed up, and quite spectacular. Good news, he walked away from the accident, but you know, these guys are on the edge in qualifying at Indianapolis. You're trying to get every tenth of a second. In fact, right now you're talking, you know, the difference between first and second, couple thousandths of a second. So these guys are pushing it, and you know, as the temperature goes higher and higher, Dennis, the track gets a little greasier and greasier, and it certainly caught an experienced driver like Hinchcliffe off, and certainly frustrating for him, isn't it?
Pretty crazy that when you look at the timing and scoring right now from Indy, the top two guys, and this is for a 4-lap total at Indianapolis, so that's what? My math.
4 laps, right, 10 miles. Yep.
So over 10 miles, they're 11 one-thousandths off of each other right now. That's insanity. Plus, when I saw those speeds of 230, you know, earlier today, my initial thoughts were just let's bring them all home alive. I just get so worried when I see Indy cars topping, you know, 225 to 230 for a lap, it starts getting me worried. Those things do turn into missiles. I know they got a lot of downforce. I know that new car is as safe as they could possibly make an open-wheel car, but me as a fan of open-wheel racing, I get real nervous when they're doing that speed at Indy.
Well, these cars, you know, they've actually taken some downforce out, and they've increased the horsepower, and you know, I've been saying my mantra has been all year that, you know, it should look difficult to this man on TV, you know, watching it on TV or for someone in the stands. Anybody who's been paying attention on what's going on at Indianapolis this week, it's difficult, especially when you have a guy like Fernando Alonso who took to Indianapolis like a duck to water 2 years ago. And now this year has been just struggling so much, and had an incident on Wednesday, and they finally got the car up, and they just wanted to get a lap in this morning, and it's the slowest or second from slowest so far. So, yeah, it's not easy, is it, to make the field in Indianapolis, as it should be, though.
No, it should be a test, and it should be tough, and it should be all those things. But it also can be all those things at 220 miles an hour with the right package.
Right.
You know, and granted, at 220, you know, maybe you're not a whole lot safer. Maybe it's just my mentality. But when I see that magic number of 230, I'm just thinking takeoff speed if these cars get in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. Going forward, they're not going to take off, but you turn them sideways, you turn them backwards, and all of a sudden, all those downforce items on the car that work so well in the right direction, I always worry about what they do when they're going backwards, because that's something you can't really test for until you get a guy squirrely in the right conditions. And it is blustery out there today, too. So you've got all of these things, but hey, this is why Indianapolis is the best track in the world. You know, I'm a NASCAR guy. You know, I've been critical of the races that NASCAR has been putting on at Indy. But when it comes to tracks in the world, there's no place like Indianapolis. And, you know, the competitors, I talked to Brian Bilardi from Bilardi Auto Racing a couple weeks ago. And he said he gets that same feeling that us fans and us media guys get. I mean, how many years have you been going to Indy, Steve, and you go through that tunnel, you still get those goosebumps. You still have the excitement. You can, you know, you show up on a day when there's not even cars on the track yet, and you hear the ghost of cars pass. I mean, I know it sounds cliche. I know it sounds weird, but that's what that place does to everybody. And you know, it should be tough, and it is tough. And these guys are and ladies are amazing to be able to do the speed they're doing.
Hey, what's the feedback you've been hearing on this NBC Gold package with, you know, pretty much unlimited, if you sign up for it, you get basically unlimited IndyCar coverage whenever you want it?
Yeah, and here's the thing is I understand why they're doing it, and I think it's a great idea to expand the package versus what you typically get. So if there's practice, if there's qualifying from a, you know, a race that is of less significance than the Indianapolis 500, I think it's a great idea for the fans, and it's priced affordably for the fans, in my opinion. But there's just some things that are pure. Qualifying at Indy should be on TV because NBC should be pumping up the excitement for race day. I want to see huge numbers for their race day crowd for the Indy 500. The only way to get that, and it's been proven through racing series forever, through all kinds of sports forever, you know, the years ago in the Chicago market, you know, old man Wirtz wouldn't give away any home games on TV
right. For
the Chicago Blackhawks. And he sold about half of the places, you know, half of the tickets when the team was in fact great. Then all of a sudden, Rocky Wirtz puts the games on TV. Even this year when the team struggled, they didn't have any problem attracting fans. Because when you give it to the fans, you get them hooked. Once you got them hooked, they want to be there. And, you know, I understand what NBC's doing, but I also understand there's a lot of NBC channels out there. Park it on, you know, CNBC or something instead of an infomercial. Keep the gold package for your other stuff and maybe even combine it with IMSA so we can have a combination package between Indy and IMSA. But, yeah, when it comes to Indy qualifying, that's where I draw the line on these pay packages.
You know, I'm watching they just interviewed Hinchcliffe. He got released from the infield care center, and they just showed him getting out of the car, and it's interesting. You know, the guys, you know, the drivers are quote-unquote uninjured, but every one of them who's had a significant impact, every impact has been a significant impact so far this year, they've all said this pretty much the same thing is, wow, that was an incredible hit. And I'm sure these guys are, it's one of those, you might not even feel the next day, but I'm sure that second day – they must be sore, because you know, anybody who's been even just in a basic car accident, you know, on the street, you feel it. But these guys are the amount the G forces they're hitting, and the impact. Now, obviously, these guys are almost close to world class athletes, especially on the IndyCar side. But speaking of which, did you see the photo of Lewis Hamilton without his shirt? That was on making its rounds on social media yesterday.
I try to avoid pictures of drivers without their shirt.
If you ever, you know, if they talk about, you know, this guy ain't Jimmy Spencer, let's put it that way. The dude is cut.
Yeah.
I mean, it was he has no problem going to a beach and taking off his shirt, let's put it that way.
No, and nor should he. All these drivers in open wheel, you know, whether it's F1, whether it's IndyCar, whether, you know, any of the Indy or any of the open wheel series, they're going to places like Pit Fit and mm-hmm. that, and really working not just on workouts to keep in shape. They're focusing on workouts that are specific to the action of driving a vehicle in a high downforce, high G situation. The technology, the people that have gotten really smart on how to build these programs are turning these guys into super athletes. You know, gone are the days when you'd see your favorite driver, you know, chomping on the burrito before hopping in the stock car and, you know, having a cigarette during the pace laps. You know, those days are gone in all forms of racing, but especially in open wheel.
I miss those days, Dennis. Those are my kind of days. That's my kind of driving. You know, I don't care if I look like Tony Stewart back in his fat days. I'd have no problem whipping my shirt off at the beach. You know how big his bank account is? You know, I don't think the ladies have a problem either. You got a couple rolls, but you got 12 zeros at the back of a number in your checking account. They'll get over it real quick.
Hey, for a picture at the beach with your shirt off, you can suck the belly in long enough to almost look good.
Absolutely. I've been doing it for 30 years.
I'm told there's a lot of filters out there that'll even make you look skinnier, but I've never had to use it myself.
That's another story in itself, those filters.
Take a marker and I draw a six-pack on my big, fat gut, and if I suck it in, it sort of looks passable.
Yeah, heck with six-packs, man. That's so minor league. You know, I work out so much, I got a half keg.
See? I got a full one, so we're getting close.
On that note, let's take a quick break, and when we come back with Dennis Michelson, we'll talk a little Winston Open. Remember that? Winston Open, and we got the All-Star race this weekend, and we'll talk a little Charlotte racing and All-Star racing and some other stuff coming up next on the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda.
Final inspection. Now, Dennis Michelson of D-Mike Media is here to give us the inside track on NASCAR and the world of short track racing.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by legendary Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda. Some more breaking news. The entry list for the final Hoosier 100 at the Indiana Fairgrounds has been released, and it is a doozy. 42 cars, Dennis, are entered for the Hoosier 100.
Oh, and that's going to be the last one at the state fairgrounds.
Yes, it is. And there are a lot of, and I would guess, or you could add probably a couple more. So I know one fellow that's working on getting his car ready. And if the right comment, you know, if he can get the engine, and well, that's the big thing in Silver Crown racing is, you know, finding motors.
Pretty crazy to see 42 cars on entry list in Silver Crown. Remember what it was, it about almost like 10 years ago, it almost looked like that series was on the way out.
Yep.
And now they're doing so so well. We just had a feature, Georgia Henneberry, who does some wonderful media work on a site called flowracing.com, where you can watch all the USAC races, a bunch of them from around the country. Georgia was on to talk USAC racing, and that's the one thing I was really amazed at when I looked at how well the Silver Crowns have been doing. They're putting on a great show everywhere, but they're also getting car counts that are like the heyday of Silver Crown. Remember when they were racing on Thursday Night Thunder on ESPN, and we saw this kid by the name of Jeff Gordon running, and you know, it really is a throwback to what that series used to be, and they've really recaptured the glory of those Silver Crowns. That's, for my money, that's the Silver Crowns and also the midgets in USAC are still some of my favorite racing.
They and look for Silver Crown to come to the Milwaukee Mile next year. That's if everybody gets their arse out to the Milwaukee Mile and put their fanny in the stands Father's Day weekend. So want to make sure you guys get out there and see some racing and prove to the powers to be that, yes, racing can survive at the Milwaukee Mile. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to have four series there, including vintage Indy cars. It's going to be a lot of racing, a lot of things going on in and around the track. The weather should be great, and it should be a lot of fun. And if you're a father, and, well, my wife is good. No, it's Father's Day, right, Jeff?
You got that right.
You decide what you want to do.
Yep, I got my tickets. I'm bringing my three kids, and, you know, we'll be out there. I can't wait. It's going to be a ball.
It should be a lot of fun. Yep, bring the kids, get them indoctrinated into the world of racing.
Don't get stuck going to the zoo. You know, come on, you can do that any day
that
of the week.
That is a good point, yep.
Don't get caught doing something lame like that. It's your day. Do what you want and get, you know, bring the old lady, bring the kids out to the track and have a good time.
Should be a lot of fun. Dennis, when was the last time you saw a Silver Crown race?
Oh my goodness.
Well, don't say that. You're supposed to say, last year I was just,
No, it's been about 4 or 5 years.
Oh, that ain't too bad.
Silver Crowns in person. Yeah.
Yeah. When you say, oh my goodness, I'm thinking, you know, 1970s or something.
No, wasn't that long ago, but it was good 4 or 5 years ago. And you know, it's terrible. Here's the problem is it covers so many different kinds of racing that you sometimes kind of get one of them lost in the shuffle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's now if flowracing.com and USAC want to hire me to be a pit reporter or to help with the coverage of the races, I would never miss a Silver Crown race again.
I would love to see that. But, you know, getting back onto the, I don't want to call it pay-per-view. What's the word I'm looking for, Jeff?
NBC, or, NBC, you know, Gold, streaming
but
feed.
They have, yeah, the streaming feeds and that. I got a buddy of mine. Guy's a hardcore dirt car, dirt racing fanatic, and had some health issues. And he's on the road to recovery. But, you know, this is great. It's a way for him to watch a lot of the USAC races, see races at Eldora, you know, it's the Chili Bowl, all the preliminary races. There's a lot of stuff that's out there. And to be honest, you know, not everybody is a well-funded retiree who can jump in his RV and go to, you know, 120 races a year.
Yeah, you know, it's got some positives, but it's also got a ton of negatives too. And I'm with Dennis, you know, the big stuff, Indy qualifying, all that just belongs on TV. It just does.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I'm all for pay-per-views if they help give us coverage versus no coverage.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
With our Frisbee football guys, we wanted to expand our coverage from just one game of the week to a standard place where everybody could see every game that was played. And we couldn't do it for free, but for $10 a month, are you kidding me? $30 for the whole season. You can watch every game from all around the country. There's 12 games showing tonight. Same thing on Lucas Oil TV. A subscription there, I believe, is like $99 for the year. You know, the USAC subscription is about the same. It's like 100 and something. But when you look at equating it out to how many races you get to see, it's like $1.75 a race when it comes to the USAC streaming, and you wouldn't get to see them otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So will I pay that? You bet your butt I will, because I get to see stuff that I wouldn't otherwise get to see. And, you know, that's great. That's the position for streaming video. It comes without commercials for the most part on a lot of these feeds as well. That's kind of good. But, you know, there's just some things that should be pure. That's where I draw the line.
All right, very good. This weekend, of course, is the NASCAR All-Star Race. And Courtney Force is waving the green flag for Graham Rahal's qualifying attempt. How about that?
That's different.
Yeah, it is different. And we got Clint Bowyer won the pole for tonight's All-Star Race with Kyle Busch alongside. And we got, let's see here. So we got 15 drivers, and then we have four drivers that have to race their way in. And, you know, I was thinking about this, you know, preparing for the show today. And I always, when you go back to the Open, which is sometimes the better of the two races, the old Winston Open, which for the drivers to get in, is it Daniel Hemric, I think? Is on the poll for the Open race, which I think Jeff might be talking to next week.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. But Dick Trickle, when he won that Winston Open many years ago, I think he was running the Cale Yarborough car, if I recall.
Good old 66,
Charlotte.
The Trap Arctic, yeah.
Yeah, Charlotte was going nuts. They loved it, you know, and it's just what are some of your memories of the All-Star race, Dennis?
Well, when I think of this event, and thank you T. Wayne Robertson from Winston,
yes,
for putting this whole nutty idea together. I remember the first one under the lights, because that was, at that point, the largest sporting event crowd to an event that was held at night.
Was that 92?
92, 133,000 plus people in the stands, and that, you know, infield was packed too. I mean, it was nuts. It was one hot night is how it was built. And you had, you know, an epic finish with Dale Earnhardt, of all people, getting spun out of the way instead of spinning somebody out of the way. And then you, of course, had the winner, who basically went to the infield care center and said,
was that Davey Allison, right?
Lane. Davey Allison crashed after the race.
Right.
And, you know, I've got a Sam Bass piece on my wall commemorating that, because that was then the cover for the 600 the following year. But just that race, I remember the anticipation. It was like we'd never seen these cars at night at Charlotte before.
It was huge.
What is this going to be like? Yeah, and that's the one that really stands out to me. And over the recent years, if I try to think back over the last, like, 15 years to see another race, it was probably the race that Jeff Gordon ended up winning when he crashed on the first lap and they let him go to a backup car because the rain came. That controversy was the only other more recent race that really has hit. But, man, they're throwing everything at it this year. They've got a whole new aero scheme again. So we have no idea how these cars are going to act. They've got these little vents on the hood. Not even sure what the heck the idea on that is. It was supposed to keep the engine compartment cooler, and the engines have been running warmer, so not exactly doing what it intended. But they put a little lip on the front splitter that's supposed to make clean air not as important. If this works, they're going to do it. They should do it everywhere.
Exactly.
On the big tracks. But, you know, I don't know. Everything they've tried in the rule package, you know, they try to put a Band-Aid on a big cut. You know, I've been screaming it for a long time now, about 2 years. Take the splitters off and see what happens. But I give it to NASCAR. They're trying things. But, it should be a pretty exciting show tonight.
Yeah, All-Star Race tonight, 600 next week. I want to get your comment on some, or your opinion on some comments here by Denny Hamlin. He was asked, does the sport still need a 600-mile race? And Denny Hamlin responded, no, the sport doesn't need any particular thing. I don't think that anything is totally necessary. If the race were 300 miles, you're going to have the same core group watch the race and probably more that are interested because it's not 5 hours long. Then he was asked, is there any part of the tradition that you like? Hamlin's answer, tradition, schmradition. It's whatever. All sports adapt and change. I hate it when people say, well, that's the way it always was. Things are different. I'd be just as happy with a Coke 300 trophy as a Coke 600, to be honest with you. I'm for whatever, but I certainly know that from my friends, they choose to come to All-Star Week and not 600 Week because it's just too long and they don't want to sit here for 5 hours. What are your thoughts on those comments, Dennis?
First of all, I have never, ever heard a fan who is at the race complain that a race is too long. Fans are getting their money's worth for a long race. Here's the reason it's 600 miles. It's supposed to be an endurance test for the manufacturers. That's what it was intended
no,
to be.
No, Dennis, you're full of it. It's because they wanted to upstage the Indy 500. The only reason why it was 600, they said they wanted it bigger than Indy. That's all.
But that's why we have 500 and 600-mile races. Yeah, they wanted to upstage the Indianapolis 500 by having another 100 miles. But the reason that a race is 500 miles and didn't start out as a 200-mile dash is because it was supposed to be an endurance test of equipment. It was supposed to be a test of the manufacturers and the driver's ability to keep it going for that long. That's why we had a 500-mile race in the first place. And you're right, making it 600 just added another factor to kind of upstage. But the whole idea over a long race like the 600 is to be an endurance test. Here's the problem when you get a driver like Denny Hamlin mouthing off like this, very popular with the younger crowd because they don't care about tradition. The older fans, the more loyal fans of NASCAR are the ones that care about tradition, and you're just slapping them in the face.
Well, I think NASCAR is in a kind of perilous, you know, position here. When it comes to trying to keep their core fans any more leaving, and I think that's a good point about the 600. I think you should if it's 600, fine. You know, I mean it's one race and it's Memorial Day weekend. You know, it's on a Friday night. You got a holiday the next day. You know, why not? But it is it's an interesting point. Because, I mean, they're fans in the stands. God bless them, but I would have a hard time sitting on a aluminum bleacher or seat for 5 hours. You know, it's one thing when you have these 4 hour IMSA races in that at Road America or the longer races at Road America or Road Atlanta or Sebring, but a lot of those guys are on camp. You know, they're camping out. So they're kind of spread out on lawn chairs and kind of relaxed. There's room to move. Where at a NASCAR race, if you're packed into a seat, you know, you're kind of stuck where you're at.
Yeah, but we've all seen the TV coverage the last couple years. No one's packed in anymore anywhere.
Yeah, and here's the thing, guys. Average speeds of the race have gone up. The speed of the cars have gone up. Back in the day when they first started running the 600, it would take 5 hours because your average speeds of the race were so much slower because the cars were so much slower. Now you're doing almost 200 miles an hour top speed, not for lap speed, but for a top speed at Charlotte where, you know, back when they started the 600, 150 miles an hour was the top speed. So the speeds have gone up. The average time of the race has actually dropped. So to say that we need to all of a sudden shorten up is just the common excuse that's being made. I think there should be one or two real good endurance tests every year. Some of the common races, though, I don't have a problem with lowering those from 500 to 400 miles or even 350 or whatever you want to choose, but keep some of the traditional races the same. Steve, could you imagine the uproar if all of a sudden Indianapolis Motor Speedway said, you know, to fit into a tighter TV window, we're going to make the 500 300 next year. Could you imagine the uproar over that?
Oh, it'd be pandemonium. But leave it 600, leave the Indy 500 600 or 500. I mean, but I think Well, we'll see what happens in 2 years. I think you're going to see a lot of changes in NASCAR. We've been saying this on the show for a year or two now. It'll be interesting to see. There's going to be if people who don't like change or are living on this earth are going to be very frustrated in the next few years, and especially over the next 10 years, because there's going to be some real fundamental changes in a lot of things, whether it's transportation, communication, sporting events, entertainment, all along. It's going to be an interesting 10 years coming up. So, Dennis, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show. What's the latest at D-Mike Media?
Well, some cool interviews this week. Like I mentioned, we went USAC, which, of course, is one of the longest-lasting sanctioning bodies in the world. And then we also featured the Heartland Auto Racing Tour, which is starting up with their inaugural season. So once again, on our Business of Speed show, we're trying to show both extremes and, of course, another edition of Wildfire Fever, taking you inside the world of the Chicago wildfire, including exclusive audio from my bus trip to Pittsburgh, which included the bus breaking down. So that's worth the price of admission, even if you're not an Ultimate Frisbee fan. But if you're not an Ultimate Frisbee fan, what the heck's wrong with you?
Do we get to hear you sing on that bus, Dennis? Because that's worth the price of admission there, too.
I do sing a couple of verses.
Nice.
Yes. So head over to dmikemedia.com. Look for Wildfire Fever, the latest episode, and you will get to hear me sing.
I love it. Sweet. Dennis, are you going to be in Indianapolis next week?
I will be in Indianapolis several days next week. I'll be there for practice on Monday if all things go right and the weather cooperates. I will probably be there for Carp Day, and I will, of course, be there for the 500.
I tell you what, let's hook up so we won't have you on the show, but we'll have you on the show, if you know what I mean. So we will definitely hook up next week down in Indianapolis. It should be a fun show because traditionally it's pretty much all Indianapolis 500 next week on the show. So looking forward to chatting with you in person next week, Dennis. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Should be a fun time. Thanks for having me on as always, Steve.
All right, coming up next, we'll have more updates from Indianapolis and get you up to speed on what is happening in Indianapolis 500 qualifying and more, including Marcus Erickson, IndyCar driver, interview I did with him, and Eddie Lapine will be on the show. We'll be talking Mario Andretti and some other interesting tidbits coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
Milwaukee. Start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. And just so you know, the summer Summit Series that was scheduled for this weekend has been canceled. And however, they plan to do some open testing today and tomorrow, weather permitting. So make sure you stay up to date and check out Great Lakes Dragway on their Facebook page, which is probably the one they update the most and is most up-to-date information. And also, you can check out GreatLakesDragway.com. So
yeah, that Summit thing might be canceled. It's still worth going out there today.
Sure.
You know, they're still going to have cars running up and down that track all day long. So, you know, just because they canceled the Summit with the impending weather that's expected, it's no reason not to go out there. You know, you can still get your season pass. It pays for itself in 3 visits. Go eat some food. You know, next week, you know, Steve will be in Indianapolis, so feel free to hit Great Lakes Dragway as soon as they open. You know, even if you're there 15 minutes, buy a ton of food and bring it back here to the studio. I'm always hungry. It would be much appreciated. So, you know, still a great day to see some racing.
You bet. All is fun. All is fun. So, qualifying is continuing. Captain America, Ryan Hunter-Reay, just qualified. And qualified, I think, was 22nd. So, Andretti Racing, just been struggling a bit. Chevys have been the strongest, and it's funny. I guess they were maybe playing a little bit of possum.
Yeah, happens a lot. It happens a lot.
Hondas look strong, then Chevys look strong, then Hondas look, you know, quick, and then qualifying, and then boom, it's Chevy.
Yeah, it. You know, I think the bigger story is the guys that are struggling.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about Hinchcliffe
and Alonso.
Sage Karam.
Who actually hit the wall.
Yeah.
He left a nice little donut on the wall. He hit the wall about as hard as you can without having a – I'm sure he had a moment when he did it. But, yeah, he's been not having fun.
No, you know, they who did they throw in his car to test it?
J.R. Hildebrand.
Yeah, they put Hildebrand in the car. He ran it around the track, said the car is fine.
He's having a confidence issue.
Yeah, he is struggling, and you know,
Indianapolis is not where you want to have a confidence issue.
No, it's not. Not at those speeds. Not with the prestige and the pressure that these guys are all under.
You know, it's funny. It's always been this way. So this is nothing new. But you get the old codgers. Oh yeah, these kids nowadays. You know, blah blah blah. Back in my day, and it's funny is if you look into like an old Indy. Floyd Clymer yearbook from like 1959. They'll have some drivers from the 30s and 40s in there saying how much tougher they were than these kids nowadays. So, you know, it's always been that way. And whether it's baseball too, you know, I'm sure, you know, Ty Cobb was saying, oh, you know, Babe Ruth and these guys, they have it so much easy. You know, it's always been that way. But anyways, you go into turn one. 230 plus miles an hour, or going into turn three at 200. I think Ed Jones hit 240 on his opening lap, and then you make that 90-degree turn. I mean, that's moving.
Yeah, you're not putting pace laps down. These guys are flying. They're on the edge. You know, you're inches away from disaster, and. You know, disaster at 220, 230 mile an hour could equal the ultimate disaster.
If you get down to Indianapolis, let's see, you go down to Carb Day. The stands are, if you notice, in turn four, those stands are open.
Uh-huh.
If you ever sit in those, what's really cool is when you're looking, because you're looking straight down the front straightaway. And you know where you really get the perception of speed is when you see the cars going to turn one. Because it almost looks like they're dropping about 10. It's a little bit of an optical illusion. It almost looks like they're dropping about 10 feet, and then you just break one way like a fighter jet. It is just incredible.
Yeah. There's so many good spots, but yeah, that's a great spot to see the actual raw speed. You know, obviously. With the camera work and HD and everything, I think it's helped out racing a ton. But there is no way that TV does justice on how fast these guys are going. It will blow your mind live if you haven't seen it. And, anybody would be all puckered up if we got in one of those cars and tried to do what these guys are doing.
They had a shot of Hinchcliffe earlier who, if you weren't listening earlier, had an incident during qualifying, hit the wall very hard in turn two. And they had the camera, the driver cam, where they're looking up at the driver, and they show the car coming off the wall, and you see him and you see the safety crew run up, and I picked this up. You know, he kind of gives the thumbs up, you know, as they walk up, and when you walk up, when you're a safety crew guy, you always touch the helmet. It's just kind of a reaction because you don't know. You know, at that point, you know, if the driver is unconscious, you want to, you know, steady his head in that. But then they flipped up his visor. I thought that was because, like, it's like everybody who's hit the wall, you know, it's an incredible hit. I'm sure you got the wind knocked out of them. You hit the wall like he did, you're like sucking air. You're like, I'm sure he was when, you know, he was able to kind of do the thumbs up. And I don't think he was, like I said, he didn't even lift up his visor. So,
yeah, you know, it just, you know, obviously, I know I've been in car accidents and everything like that. There's no way I was going 220, 230 when they happened. Which thankfully, but you know, it shakes you up, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, at those speeds, it's got to shake you up even more. And, you know, you just, these guys have,
they're special guys. I mean, to do what these guys do, it's, you know, it's anything at this level. I don't care if it's football, baseball. I mean, have you ever stood in a batter's cage?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, and when you have balls flying past you at 90 miles an hour, it gets your attention. You know, and then to being able to slow it down enough and to basically try and hit it, not just swing wildly and just hoping for contact, but to be, you know, like they always said that Ted Williams could almost read the ball as it was coming in. You know, he could see the stitching move and everything. He was able to slow down things. That's why he was such a good hitter. But, you know, anything, you know, like, just like watching the game last night, the basketball game, you know, it's, you know, you see it on TV, but when you're on floor level, you actually see the speed of these guys and how quick they can. And that one shot of Connaughton trying to block that shot, he's like 4 feet off the ground. You're like, holy cow. You know, even the guys on TV are like, whoa, look at that. You know, so, I mean, and for these guys to have an incident like that and get right back into another car and throw yourself into a corner at 240 miles an hour, it's they're a special breed.
Yeah, they are. They are. The size, the speed, you know, the danger, just everything, it's phenomenal. And that's why we love this sport.
Yep. Speaking of that, let's talk to one of those guys coming up next. We'll talk with Marcus Erickson, who's actually James Hinchcliffe's teammate from Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports. I had a chance to speak with him when I was down in Indianapolis, and we'll find out how's he handling the transition to an oval from his from racing in Formula One like he did last year. Coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Steve Zocchi in the Final Inspection Show with Marcus Erickson, driver of the Errol Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports car. And Marcus, fresh from Formula One, and David Hobbs is a friend of the show. And we followed your career through F1, and we were just mentioning on the show last week. In fact, I think we might have mentioned your name. If there's not a right in Formula One, it's not like it was maybe a few years ago going to F1 or going from F1 to IndyCar. It's not necessarily a step down. That the IndyCar we felt was a little bit higher regarding the world of motorsports. Is that something you felt?
I don't know. I mean, I like to not compare too much the two series. I think both are great in their own way. I think from a driver perspective, it's been a great way for me to sort of show what I can do coming to IndyCar. I think it's more of a driver's championship. Obviously, with one spec cars, it's more about the driver and the team, and not so much about how big a team you're in, how much, you know, money you have to build a good car. Right. And I think that's something that, if you're not in one of the top teams in Formula One, it makes it quite difficult to show what you can do out there on track. So for me, that's been the biggest thing coming to IndyCar and racing here, that, you know, you have a bigger chance, and the field, you know, the competition is so intense. You know, you have the whole field covered in a second and usually in the qualifying session, which is pretty impressive.
What's the biggest change between the two, whether it's competition or just that maybe you have a better chance with the cars, the way they're set up now across the field, I suppose, what you had to go through last year? Or?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just that every weekend, everyone that goes to the race have a chance to win, you know, whereas in Formula One, I did 5 years in bottom to middle part of the field teams, and mm-hmm. you never once had the chance to win, you know, and that's something that's it's tough to accept when you go up all your career and trying to win races, and then you arrive to the top level and you cannot do it. So that's been tough when I was in Formula One, and that's what's been very exciting coming to IndyCar, that, you know, yes, it's very, very tough, and all the drivers, teams, it's super high level, but for sure there is a chance, if you do everything right, to be on that podium and to win races.
What's the thing you like the most about the current spec car?
I think the way that it's a very difficult car to control. It's moving around a lot. It doesn't have a lot of downforce, so it means you as a driver have to work it a lot, and it's really like, you know, you see it on boards and you have to be really working that thing out there, and that's really enjoyable, and I really like that.
Is the comfort level going from race to race, have you felt yourself getting more comfortable with the cars and set up and working with the team?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, this year is a learning curve, and I feel like every race I take steps there, understanding the car and the series more and more. I feel like we've shown in the races that we can be very, very strong and fight with the top of the field. We've had a bit of problems in qualifying. I'm still struggling a bit to understand the tires on new rubber over one lap. So we're working on that at the moment, and I feel like when we can get that sorted, we should be right up there and fight for podiums and victories.
And how was Ricky's orientation program on the big oval?
It was good, yeah. I mean, I had the test in Texas a week before that, so that was good just to get sort of my first oval experience. So when I went into the rookie orientation, it was, you can never say easy, but it was, easier than if I would have gone straight into it. But for sure, it was very special. You know, turning my first laps on the speedway here was a special moment. So, yeah, nice way to start the month.
Having James Hinchcliffe and Robert Wickens as teammates, have you been able to lean on them regarding chassis setups or working you through any difficulties so far this year?
Yeah, a lot. I think, you know, James is there all the time. He's very helpful and he's very open, and it's been helping me a lot getting up to speed. When I did my first oval test in Texas, he was there with me and helping me all the time. So it's been very good for me to have that experience from him. And then with Robbie, you know, we're speaking on the phone a lot about different things. And obviously he went through this whole process last year.
Right.
So he has a lot of good advice to give me. So I've been very lucky to have both of them there to help me with all aspects.
What's your goals for the year and the IndyCar series?
I want to win a race this year and try and be up there in the field as much as possible. I think championship position is difficult to say, but we definitely have the potential to win a race. So that's the goal.
Best of luck this year at Indianapolis. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Coming up next on the Final Inspection Show, we'll talk with Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com, talk some Mario Andretti and more Indianapolis 500 coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is from RacingNation.com. Eddie Lapine, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing, Jeff? How you doing, Steve?
We're doing fantastic, and it's getting warm in Indiana, at least. Getting hot in during qualifying down in Indianapolis. I think it's in the 80s down there. We're starting to warm up here a bit finally, even though it's a bit overcast. And Kyle Kaiser from Yunkos Racing just qualified, and they put in a yeoman's effort getting their backup car ready to qualify after his incident. Was it yesterday or the day before when he had a heavy
Wednesday.
Impact in turn three? No, that was Alonso, I think, was on Wednesday. And just for them to put a car together, that's pretty good, especially, you know, a team like that that's underfunded and kind of scraping together to get everything ready. So it'll be interesting to see if he has the speed to make the race. But, Eddie, how are things going down in Florida for you?
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, it's weather's wonderful as usual. Just getting ready for the biggest spectacle in the world.
You betcha. Week. And, of course, this year in Indianapolis, they're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Mario Andretti's win in 1969 with the Bronner Hawk in that. And, you know, everybody talks about Andretti luck at Indianapolis. And, of course, Michael Andretti had his struggles there, but has won, I think, three or four times now as a car owner. Marco Andretti had victory snatched a couple times from him, one by a teammate and once by a Sam Hornish. But, of course, Andretti, Mario had numerous opportunities to win the race, especially in 1987 when he had the car to beat. And I think he led 170 of the 200 laps, but unfortunately had a problem late in the race. But a lot of people, including me, kind of speculate that maybe he used up all his luck when he won in 1969, because that Bronner Hawk didn't even have a gearbox oil when he was done in that race.
When you look at that car and you look at the aerodynamics of the car too, you know, he definitely had to drive the car, but, you know, it made it. He won. Unbelievable.
It wasn't even his primary. That was his backup car. The Lotus he was supposed to drive was by far the fastest car, although it was a bit sketchy with, you know, reliability, and eventually it bit him in practice when they when he had an upright break and he crashed heavily. So hey, I just saw your buddy on George Steinbrenner on TV here with, after Colton Herta qualified with his Avengers Thanos glove on. I think that's something you should have when you come up to Road America this year.
I'll work on it, Steve, just for you.
But yeah, I mean, is that something? Maybe there's no, I don't believe in luck per se. But I mean, it seems like he did use up all his luck to get that one win at 69.
Well, I mean, there was numerous times. I mean, the Danny Sullivan, the spin and win, was another one.
Yeah, that's another one, yep.
He left off the table that, I think Mario was like, oh, I'm going to win this, when he saw him spinning in front of him. And, I guess some of it you could look at it that way. He won a lot of other things. But yeah. I guess that's eluded him. And it's same with Michael. I mean, Michael Andretti is the most, he has led the most laps at Indy. He's any of any driver, and he never won it. I'm sure it's tough because they really hold that one as a crown jewel. Definitely.
And there's a lot of memorabilia down in Indianapolis celebrating a win. Just how iconic is that STP logo, the Diglo red, and the Andretti name and racing memorabilia.
Well, it is. I mean, it was an era with Andy Granatelli, and people, I think Indianapolis is really, because of what Mario has done in the last, even from when he's retired now, 20 years, what he's contributed to IndyCar racing, I think it's kind of like what Indy's paying him back for doing all of that. I mean, when you look at highlight reels and, when Mario jumped back in Michael's car and ran and flipped the 7-Eleven car at Indianapolis, and next week he was at Milwaukee. I mean, just the Andretti name and what Mario has contributed to motorsports and to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is amazing, and I think you're seeing that this year. I mean, I was online at Indianapolis store, and I purchased a few items. They had some bobbleheads, and, they're just going all out. And I think it's just kind of like a thing that they're doing to show how much Mario has meant to the sport and to Indianapolis.
Yeah, it certainly is. And getting to modern times, Fernando Alonso has been struggling along with Team McLaren, especially after their crash on Wednesday. Is this showing just how difficult Indianapolis can be?
Well, I said before they went there, I knew Fernando was not going to have an easier it was going to be a hard time going back there this year with a new team. Last year he came there with Andretti Autosport and had all the right people in place. And as you well know, Indy, you need the right people and in the engineering department, as well as the driver. And Fernando's a good driver, and you know they're going to do good when it comes to the race. But you know, the qualifying and getting behind the eight ball by wrecking a car, it's not going to help them. And I think that's what you see with newer teams with trying to put people in place, just and just doing the one-off race. I think that's very difficult for them to go there and just do a one-off race.
Well, especially today when they think it. Well, it's sorry, especially today, you know, when he qualified, then he comes into pits, and then they look afterwards, they find that the right rear has a puncture. So, you know, that doesn't bode well. So I'm sure he'll be out there to requalify. They had a shot of the powers to be with McLaren talking with Roger Penske and Tim Cendrick, who's also a Chevy driver. So it'll be interesting to see if maybe there's some deals made, or maybe from setup notes or something. But I you know, Chevrolet definitely would like to see Alonso in the 500.
Yeah, well, especially when you think about how much money they're making trying to make this happen to beat Honda. So, and I think Chevrolet definitely is in a lot better place than we thought. But, you know, the race is going to be different. It's going to, you know, 500 miles, and you're going to see the Hondas, and the weather's going to play a factor, as you're seeing right now with the heat there. Spencer Pickett's the fastest guy right now with a 230 right now.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, yeah, let's take a look at the drivers at the back of the field currently right now. You know, we got Jordan King, not too much of a surprise. Nothing against Jordan King. It's his first time on an oval. Kyle Kaiser, of course, who had that accident. Ben Hanley with Dragon Speed, which we'll be talking to more in a moment here. Patricio Ward is a bit of a surprise, but he also, once again, hit the wall earlier. I think these are guys that just wanted to get their banker laps. It is interesting that Kaiser, Patricio Ward, Alonso, of course, is in the bottom six. The three of those drivers were involved in an accident, and I think it was more of a case of just wanting to get a time, and then then work on later in the day improving on that time. And then the guy that's kind of snake bit at this point is Sage Karam. So we'll have to see how this unfolds as Ben Hanley looks like might be making a qualifying attempt, because it looks like they have gone through the line. So now from this point on, they'll be able to requalify and improve on their times. But Dragon Speed, that's a team you're familiar with. They've raced IMSA and a World Endurance Championship. Tell us a bit about Dragon Speed, Eddie.
Well, I think they got, you know, I mean, they're going about it the right way. I think they're making slow steps and trying to get their feet wet in this sport. And Eric Lux, who runs the operation, I mean, they're well-known worldwide, and they can bring some sponsorship money worldwide into the U.S. And I think they got a very good organization, and they're taking their time to get acclimated to the sport, and they're doing it slow. And I think, you know, they could possibly be somebody, you know, it's like you look at Michael Shank Racing. Everybody was like, you know, when he went over to IndyCar racing for sports car racing, it's one of those things where you have to put the right people in place and have the right people to run the operation to make you excel and be better. And you saw how it worked. Jack Harvey finished third last week at the Grand Prix in Indianapolis, and it was amazing. You know, that's Michael Shank. We've had him on the radio show, and he's just a great guy, and it was a dream for him. And now you're seeing that with other forms and other teams coming across and trying to IndyCar racing. And I think with Dragon Speed, you're going to see
them just like Michael Schenck. They're very good organizations, and you're going to see them be around for a while too.
Yeah, and John Dick has joined the team. John Dick's been around for many years on the IndyCar paddock, and he brings a lot of experience, and they brought him in for the month of May to help them navigate through all the pitfalls that can occur to especially a young team like Dragon Speed during the month of May. And John Dick was actually the team manager and chief mechanic for Dietley Racing when David Hobbs won the Trans Am Championship in 1983. So he's been around the world of motorsports for a while. So that helps, bringing in somebody that kind of knows their way around in IndyCar. And John Dick is definitely one of those people. Going back to Team McLaren, I thought it was interesting that earlier in the day and late yesterday, they had reported that McLaren had offers of help of Chevy teams wanting to help them out. Zach was saying, no, we have everything here. We're fine. And is that something that maybe they should have taken some of the help or is this a kind of a situation that we had with Team Penske in 95 when they weren't getting the speed there and they were pushing away the help early on when in fact maybe if they would have brought in help and listened to some of the other teams they could have made the field.
Well, I think you got a point. I mean, and I think what's going to happen is they're going to look at it after the race on Monday next week and go, we should have probably gotten some more input from people and maybe brought somebody else. You think you know everything, and if you don't have the right people in place, you got to take input. And if Penske is willing to give you input, I mean, you can't get any better people in
sure.
Chevrolet and Roger Penske and Team Penske to get any type of input from them. Because Chevrolet, this is a Chevrolet deal, and Chevrolet wants Fernando Alonso to do well here. And not that they don't want Penske to do well, but they want the whole Chevrolet brand to do well for the race.
Right.
Because I think it's just very important. I mean, I'm sure Roger wants to put another trophy on his mantle. And I think when you look at the teams and when you go into the race, Roger Penske, even if they're not up front, they're always going to be a factor in the race. And I think with a new team, they don't have all those pieces put together. So, I mean, it's a hard call right now because they want to prove to everybody that they're doing this on their own, and they put this team together, and they want to prove to Chevrolet that they can do it by themselves. So, I mean, it's a catch-22.
Yeah, it certainly is. I tell you what, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get you guys another update with qualifying in Indianapolis, and then we'll also get predictions for tonight's All-Star race and predictions for the poll that may occur today if things get washed out tomorrow because there is a chance of rain. What they want to do, if the weather is suspect tomorrow, they want to make sure they get the field set. So they want to make sure they get the field of 33 set tomorrow. Well, whenever they can, and then if not, or if weather permitting, then they'll get the qualifying for the Fast 9 tomorrow at Indianapolis. So let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk more IndyCar racing with Eddie Lapine and Jeff Orlowski running the control on the Final Inspection Show.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi.
Presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove.
On 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway and the David Hobbs Honda's, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It is Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com. Eddie, what's the latest at RacingNation.com?
Well, if you saw, Jack Webster got a nice write-up in a European magazine for Porsche. So he's the rock star this week.
Yeah,
definitely.
And Jack is just one of the best out there. Quality motorsports photographer, has been doing it for over 40 years and class act. I always enjoy his work at RacingNation.com and elsewhere. So, and if you've been up to Elkhart Lake, you probably saw a Racing Pilot sticker somewhere. Maybe it's Siepkins or somewhere. That's Jack. So, always looking forward to that. A little bit of controversy right now at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Sage Karam was qualifying, and we've been talking about his struggles throughout the month and his ability to find some speed, and was running in the high 225s. And then on his fourth lap, a yellow flag came out, and speculation that it was the crew, actually was the race director. And needless to say, the team and the driver aren't too happy about it. So we'll have to see what is occurring here and why that is. So a little bit of controversy. Hey, Eddie, what's Indianapolis without a little bit of controversy from the officiating, right?
Well, exactly. Well, you saw Colton Herta just qualified, and he pulled off after two laps. So, I mean, people are jockeying. You know, they want to lay that good lap down for the day.
Right, Marco Andretti. Yep, Marco Andretti is about to go out now, and he's trying to disappointing first run for him. He was, I think, the second or third guy to qualify, and it was like, maybe there isn't. Maybe Chevys are the strongest car, because Honda certainly is not looking to be the package right now. We'll see what Andretti Racing and Marco Andretti can counter with his second attempt today.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the Chevrolets are a lot more powerful, I think, today in the heat. And I think Ed Carpenter Racing, every year, he always is, you know, he's always at the forefront with getting a good lap at Indy.
Yeah. So. Yeah, certainly is. And the wind is actually now pushing out of the, that would be out of the southwest. So that's something, so they're getting a bit of a headwind coming down the front straightaway. But turn two, that makes turn two just that much trickier with the wind as hard as it's blowing right now in Indianapolis.
Well, any type of, wind at Indy.
Right.
You're flat footing.
Especially with these cars on the edge as they are. And let's go to predictions. We have the NASCAR Winston Open and also the All-Star Race tonight. And
oh, there's a NASCAR race?
Yes, I know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jeez. I was more caught up in the Milwaukee Bucks winning last night, actually.
How about that? Good to see the Bucks winning.
I was just talking to my dad too, because we went to the 1971 championship game and our tickets were $9 for lower bowl seats. And I thought, if you paid $9 now, you'd probably get your car stolen for parking.
I don't even think that would cover parking right now.
No, not at all. $9, you'd be lucky if, I think a parking meter would be more expensive.
Yeah, so we have Clint Bowyer on the pole and Kyle Busch on the front row of the All-Star game All-Star race tonight at Charlotte. Jeff, who do you like in there?
I'm going to take Kyle Busch. I'll go chalk this week.
Kyle Busch.
Yeah, you stole my guy. I was going to take him.
Yeah, he won the truck race last night, and I think he'll get it done yet again.
Here, Eddie, I'll give you the top 10 here. We got Clint Bowyer, Kyle Busch, and then second row we have Harvick and Austin Dillon, and then Martin Truex Jr. and Ryan Newman in the sixth car. Then we got Jones, Johnson, and Blaney and Logano. So
I'm going to go with Happy Harvick.
Happy Harvick. I like that pick.
Hey, won last year.
Yeah, he did. Decisions.
God, you don't know, huh? See, you didn't.
No, I'll go with Boyd. See, the poll winner can't win. I'll take Logano. I love his smiling face.
That's a good pick. He's always quick.
Yeah, he is.
So, you know, if he doesn't wreck three quarters of the field, he'll be in contention to win.
Who do you like for the poll today down in Indianapolis, Eddie?
Man, I'm telling you what, I don't know. I've been watching this, and I just can't. I got to say that I like the Ed Carpenter thing here. I think, I mean, 230 is going to be the number. And I don't know. Now with the weather changing, with the wind and the heat, and that track's going to get slick, and I don't know. I got to go with I'm going to go with Spencer Pickett. How's that?
Spencer Pickett. All right. I will go with Will Power. Total chalk.
Yeah.
I'll give Jeff, you want to go with Ed Jones?
No.
Ed Carpenter.
No.
Joseph Newgarden.
No.
Colton Herta.
No.
Marco Andretti.
Pimple Man.
No.
Rossi.
No.
Alexander Rossi. Bourdais.
No.
Pagano.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay.
Yeah, talked to him, last week. He won the race last week, and he's going to keep it going and get parked in the pole position for the 500, the flying Frenchman, Simon Pagenaud.
I like that pick. I think he's definitely, after last week, he's got some momentum, and it was his birthday yesterday.
See, everything's coming up, Simon. Except he's still French. But he can't do nothing about that.
That was a hell of a drive last week.
That was one hell of a drive. That was awesome. You know, you want to talk about a thrilling finish. Oh man.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Eddie, what did you think of Simon's performance last week?
I'm sorry?
What did you think of Simon's performance?
I think it was awesome. I think it was, you know, I mean, everybody's been talking like he's the odd man out. And, you know, I mean, the guy won a championship for Roger, and he's a race winner. And, you know, people were getting a little bit down on him. And it was a hell of a drive last week. And it was that was a good race. I felt bad for Dixon. But, I mean, you know, Scott Dixon is going to be, you know, I mean, finished second place 5 times this year already, and that's pretty early in the season for him to do that. He's going to be looking pretty good at the end of the year, definitely.
All right, good, Eddie. Well, we certainly appreciate you joining the show, and we will chat again. Probably not next week, but we'll definitely keep in touch here as we'll be in Indianapolis next week and then the following week in Iowa. Eddie, thanks for joining.
I'll be looking forward to everything. Steve from Indy.
All right, that's Eddie Lapine at RacingNation.com.
On the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
We'll talk to you next week from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.